Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. Today is part three of my three-part interview with marketing expert Tom LaBelt. Now, I tell you what, he has been just dropping value bomb after value bomb. If you missed any of the preceding two episodes, you need to go back and listen and catch up, because he has just gone all out in giving us tips and ideas on how to market our own services, whether it's in ministry or traditional business or online business. And matter of fact, he's going to be talking here in a minute as we get started about our company, faithcasters.net, and he is really impressed with this setup that we've got, and he talks about it. I'm not going to recover or say everything he's going to tell us about, but I'm telling you folks right now, Tom LaBelt is just on fire in this interview, and I appreciate the time he took out of his schedule to join with us just to bless us with marketing tips to help us grow this business, especially in this virus pandemic. Now let's jump into the interview with Tom LaBelt.
You know, you can make a lot of money being in a smaller niche with even 80,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, but just by being quickly becoming the best, and people know, you know, well, if you don't go with Tom, like, you know, like, what are you going to do? So it just becomes very easy, right? And I really recommend that too, to kind of, you know, like when you were talking about, you know, the podcast hosting, but then being in a Christian niche, I was like, well, then, you know, now you have something. Mm-hmm. You know, because you're a Christian podcasting host. Well, why should people go with you and not Libsyn? Well, if there's a Christian angle, Libsyn's not, you know, so there you go. Like, there's no competition now. Like, you created your own ocean.
Yeah.
And I like that.
That's what we shot for. Our tagline is design, you know, faithcasters.net, designed by Christians for Christians. I mean, that's the whole marketing aspect. Everything is around the Christian niche.
Yeah, so now you're building a community that someone like Libsyn can't compete with. Mm-hmm. You know,
exactly.
And I really do think it's very important, especially if people are starting out. It's often easier to niche and then become bigger than do what I did, which was just be everything and then kind of be like, you know what, I think I would just save myself a lot of stress and, you know, headache. By just niching down, you know, and I had the opportunities to go back to niching up, and I just don't want to.
Yeah. Now, you teach how to make a business what you call anti-fragile. What does that mean?
So there's a book. Let me see if it's called Anti-Fragile. I think it is. It's by the guy who wrote The Black Swan.
Okay.
Yeah, it's by Nassim Taleb. Yeah, anti-fragile. And that means that no matter what happens in the world, you know, because we have these black swan events, which happen once every 100 years or so, which just happen. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, my business didn't feel it at all. It actually became more popular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Like, actually, online course sales are bigger in April for the industry than for the whole 2019.
Yeah.
So part of that was luck. You know, I'm not saying like this was all, you know, premeditated. Like, I knew it's going to be the course space. I did not. But I did know that, you know, a couple things will probably work in my favor. One is I already put a lot of constraints on my business. I can work from anywhere as long as there's an internet connection. Mm-hmm. I'm in an industry that's not going anywhere. E-learning is definitely not going anywhere. It's only going to get bigger. Now, I didn't know we'd have to stop actually physically going out, but I knew more people would want to learn online for a lot of different reasons. So, you know, anti-fragile pretty much has those components where your industry is only going to get bigger, right? and one where you can really work from anywhere. Mm-hmm. Hopefully have no overhead, you know, because that's even better, like at least minimum overhead.
Right.
And the people that you do hire are easily replaceable because all of us have teams. And it took me a while to get this down, right? But I've been studying McDonald's for a long time. And being able to take a kid off the street, showing them the system or procedure and having them be able to do it really makes your business untouchable. You know, if you can still make a profit from something like that.
Yeah.
I'm 75% there. I still need coders sometimes, mm-hmm. but we are moving more into the no code zone. So I think within 5-10 years, we'll be able to have machines and AI do a lot of that for us. So I won't even need this person anymore.
Yeah.
But those are things you should look for, especially this situation taught us that this anything could happen, really.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, if the internet goes out, we're all done. But
for sure,
let's hope that we're still not going to go that far.
That leads us into the question of having your staff that you can hire. Like I could hire a virtual assistant from Thailand or the Philippines or something. How do you manage a staff that you never meet or that you only meet online?
Well, so the first thing I did was hire a manager that could perform simple tasks and go over my SOPs, which are the standard operating procedures, and kind of, mm-hmm. Go over this. Can you do it? Okay. Because it should be dumbed down enough where anyone up the street can do it, right? So, okay, manager, go ahead. Do this a couple times. You got this? Good. Hire someone to do it. Same thing with the next task. Can you kind of pull this off? If it's a design thing, it's like, I know it doesn't look good. You're not a designer, but you know what needs to be done, right? How long did it take you? 30 minutes? Great. Go hire someone else. Mm-hmm. So your job as the business owner is figure out what makes you money consistently and never do that again.
Okay.
Have other people do those parts. The only piece that you should kind of keep for yourself is sales. I find a lot of business owners try to outsource sales. And really quickly, they figure out that they don't own their company anymore because the salesperson owns the company now.
Good
that's
point.
The only thing, because that's the only thing that makes the company run, right? Like if people tell me, I have a business and it's not working, what should I focus on? Sales. If there's money coming in, you can figure out the rest. Mm-hmm. Usually, it's much easier, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point because a lot of people will hire, lack of a better term, I'll just say a telemarketer to do the sales calls and things like that. And if they decide, I want double pay or I quit, you're stuck.
You're stuck. You're done. Like what happens is people say, I got to get back to you after I speak, with the key person on my team. And I'm like, don't get back to me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't even own the business. Like I should be talking to the key person and not you,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is something you need to fix. But I will just not work with those companies. I'm like, you're in too much trouble right now. You don't even know it. and it's sad. It's sad. But I've seen it many times. People outsource the sales process without understanding how to do it themselves.
Mm.
It's different if you do it and you're just too lazy to do it. But it's, but you can quickly come back in. It's like, you left? Fine. That just means I got to work until I hire someone else. That's a little different than if someone else just is doing it for you and you're just like, please bring some sales in.
That's a good point. That really is a good point. Because many people fall for the scam, go online, make $1 million while you sleep. But, often moving online is more difficult than actually having a brick or mortar business. How can those who are not accustomed to the emotional roller coaster of trying to bring traffic in off the street into a brick and mortar business and suddenly decide, I'm going to go online and the world is, going to come to me. how can they survive that type of emotional roller coaster?
You know, most people are not meant to be business owners.
Yeah.
You know, when you really think of it, you know, like I know in America now we kind of glorified it, you know, like, oh, be your own boss. Everyone's a boss lady or boss man or, you know, whatever, like this thing we have running through the media. But the truth is, like, a lot of people just aren't cut out for it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You know, when you're starting out, and in this situation, you might be listening and be like, well, you know, I need to make money. You know, I need to go online. And this is where you're sort of just moving from kind of one master to the next, right? Like you don't have your boss anymore, but now you can put your knowledge on Amazon, Udemy, Skillshare, all these, and you might make some good money, but you have another boss and you just, you know, you can make money, but you just won't have that freedom. You won't have that control, which, you know, for some people works. You can make a lot of money. Like I had a client that put out 100-something courses on Udemy. Really hardworking guy. Took him maybe a year and a half, and he made $250,000 in the first year. Zero control. But does it matter? You know, like, he made $250,000 mm-hmm. from a job, basically. But still, you know, so you still can pull it off. You just need to understand that you're not building a business. You're just making money again, and you need to kind of work for someone in a way. Mm-hmm.
So what about getting partners? You know, would that help make running an online business easier?
If you have partners, you need to understand that it's like getting married. And I rarely see it work out, mm-hmm. you know, because it's hard. Like you pretty much have this new relationship you got to kind of work with for a long, long time. And if you do have partners, it's not like, hey, Susie, hey, Cindy, let's start a business. Well, we both don't know what we're doing. It's not a good partnership, right? Like the ones that I see that work out well, Lead Pages, a company owned by two guys that I know. And it started out from one guy being an incredible marketer with zero technical skills and another guy being an amazing builder, developer with zero marketing skills. Mm. One built, one marketed.
Yeah.
And both did an amazing job at it. And it was a good partnership. They made, I don't know how many million dollars, but mm-hmm. great company. That can work. But most instances, what I see when it becomes partners is like, I'm friends with John down the street and we're going to build a business. And then next thing you know, we're both doing the same thing and no one knows what they're doing. And then we're fighting over scraps, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah. Amen.
Be careful with partnerships. I would rather hire someone, which in this case, John down the street. I would hire John and see what we can pull off instead of paying him with money because I don't have it. I would maybe pay him with equity initially, but not controlled equity. I always owe 51%. I own it. I control it. But I would pay him with something like that with an option to buy. Like, okay, John, in 5 years, if this all goes great, I'll give you $300,000 and be able to buy you out if I want to get rid of you for any reason, right? So you always give yourself an exit.
Okay.
But you also give that person like, well, you know, I work 5 years, get $300,000. Okay. Or more, you know, because we don't know. Right. Or less. It's risky. But, you know, there's always that. Yeah. So I would opt in that direction and being like, hey, let's partner up on this business. We're going 50-50. We got the shotgun clause and it's going to be great. I've done this before and I'm telling you the shotgun clause doesn't work at all. It's horrible. Don't do it.
Amen. Amen. Let me go back to the employee situation again. How can someone who has an online business, basically from their home, right, have employees that can help them out in that business? I mean, in a retail store, the employee comes to work there for a certain time, they're supervised, and then at the end of the day, everybody goes home. How can you do that online?
Well, when you think of what you just mentioned, you know, employee comes to work, messes around on Facebook, does 2 hours of work. Then the supervisor comes in, they talk around the water cooler. He's pretty much a glorified keykeeper that's getting paid and goes home. I mean, how much work is actually getting done, right? So instead of thinking of your employees sitting around looking at Facebook, you just want results, right? Like, that's what your business is. Like, if I told my assistant, for example, to reach out to 100 people every single day to get me on podcast, and you are one of them, mm-hmm. that's her task. 100 people per day, reach out. I don't care how long it takes her to get it done. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care where she's doing it from. Mm-hmm. Just 100 people messaged every single day. Now, there's the trust thing. Like, if you've got employees with you trust, which I do some, you know, and I also have a manager, and she's that, you know, the one that goes after them every single day. Mm-hmm. But we just look for the results.
Amen.
You know, build me the sales page. I want it done by tomorrow. Well, if it's not done, we got a problem. If it's done, we're okay. Right? So with that in mind, you break the tasks apart, like, because your business is basically a collection of tasks. That's what, you know, what things are.
True. If
you're
true,
you know, you're putting out podcasts, you need the support to put each podcast out, you need maybe someone to deliver some kind of sales, like whatever happens, just processes, right? So if it's small things, you can start with something like Upwork or Fiverr, right? These are just freelance websites. I need a graphics done for this podcast, and I just put it out every time I need one. Eventually, I'll find some freelancers I like, and I'll just give them the task every single time. Mm-hmm. You can go to something like Online Jobs PH, which is basically a job board for Filipinos.
Okay.
And you start looking for part-time or full-time people. I think there's a EU rec, something like that. You can look it up. It's a European board, and you can start looking for Eastern Europeans. Amazing for some tasks. Like, Filipinos are great for customer service and management, things like that. The Eastern Europeans are great for actual, like, thinking, analytical tasks. Like, I need you to build things. I need you to, you know, like, follow a process better. So you kind of pick, you know, based on the process, on the task, and then you go and find these people. And all you're looking for is results.
Okay.
You know, like, I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what you like. I don't care which movies you watch. You know, what you do in your free time. I just you come in, do your thing, and leave, right? So it's not that hard. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think with my team, I speak to my manager once every 2 days or more if there's a problem. But if not, then maybe even less, like once every 3 days for maybe 10 minutes just to see how things are.
Okay.
And the rest of the employees, you know, unless there's a problem, like if I need a task done quickly, I'll send it off to them. If there's something just didn't come through, then I, you know, and I'm like, well, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you guys understand what the deadline is, and then we start getting into it. But if everything goes well, some of them won't hear from me for 3-4 weeks. You know, so it's all about having these processes in place. And I find in the beginning, you know, one, people don't know what the processes are, which is normal. You need to develop them and figure them out. And two, they're too lazy to write them down. Mm-hmm. By being too lazy to write down your processes, you're always going to be doing them yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So this is a thing.
I found myself falling into that trap. And that's one of the reasons why I started, you know, like, okay, this is the checklist to do this. So now I can just pass that off.
Yeah. So a great book for that is called Work the System. The best book for that piece to make you understand why you need to follow processes. And for building an online business, the best book I can think of to kind of skim through really quick is called The E-Myth.
E-Myth.
Yeah, The E-Myth. Let me see if there's anything else on the title. It's been maybe 5 years since I read that, but it's it kind of helps you build a business. Yeah, The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. It helps you build a business that you can sell.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And those businesses are ones that you can scale, which means you can actually take yourself out. You're not a glorified freelancer. So it helps you kind of figure out some of the things you need to kind of have in place for that to happen. But then have an exit strategy, you know? Like, you build a business with an exit strategy in mind, because that's when most people get rich.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll build up a business to, let's say, $700,000-$800,000 a year, and then they finally sell it for like a 10 multiple. They walk away with $8 million. Mm. You know, it's that's usually that moment where you're just like, oh, this guy made it.
Okay. Yeah.
But he was able to sell his business. You know, and most businesses are not sellable. They don't have the systems, the processes, anything, and you're stuck with it. You know. And there's nothing worse than being in a business where, like, well, what happens if you leave tomorrow? Well, it's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I
do like that. I know some people that are like that. You know, they tell them, why don't you just retire? I can't. You know, I can't. I hire people to take over, you know, when I'm not there, and I can't trust them. I don't, you know. And I'm like, well, that's nobody's fault but your own for the last 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I kind of think people starting out, like I mentioned before, you're in the best spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you have nothing to lose. You haven't messed up anything yet.
Yeah.
You know, so you can follow some of these, you know, directions and kind of build something properly, or, you know, as much as you can from the beginning. And then it's not so hard moving forward. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as we get ready to wrap up, on your website, you have several case studies we briefly mentioned before. They're great examples of different niches. And I especially like the part where you explain that you do not believe that we should fake it until you make it type of
thing. No.
Your clients actually have a business but are looking for an opportunity to expand their impact, basically. And from what I can tell, they don't have to have a large audience. I mean, they don't have to have 1 million followers on Facebook or, you know, a 10 million person email list and all that to be successful using your techniques. Is that right?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. You know, having 1,000 people is often enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a big list at all. Like I said, you know, going into niches, like I'll tell you, my course marketing niche, I think has 150,000 good clients, maybe, you know, if I keep out all the riffraff from Udemy out, maybe even less, maybe 110,000 ones, which would be, but I only work with maybe 5 clients at one time.
Yeah. Amen.
I'll never go through that number ever. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so you don't need a big niche, you know, yeah. You can make good money, have a good life, build other things on the side. And you don't need a huge audience, you know, and I think that's the best thing. Like what I've seen, you know, some SEO companies do, because I don't do SEO as much anymore. And it's for the one reason where Google controls the algorithm. And the first thing I mentioned, don't ever build a business on anyone else's platform. Right.
Yep.
But what I've seen some SEO companies do is, you know, they would target lawyers, or they would just become that SEO dentistry company. And then all the dentists would be like, well, why should I go with this SEO company if this one, all they do is dentists? They know my business, right? Mm-hmm. And they made a lot of money quicker than they would if they, you know, just stayed the path.
Yeah.
You know, there's still a big risk, and I see them having, you know, problems with Google always changing the algorithm, and, you know, and that's the not following that first step, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it still worked out better by niching down, by being clear on who you want to serve. Yeah.
Amen. Well, I could talk with you for a long time, but if someone listening today and they've been contemplating starting, you know, an online business, maybe because of the virus stuff or for whatever reason, what advice can you give them as they're thinking about whether or not they should pull the trigger on this and actually dive in?
Stop thinking about it.
There you go.
There's a Stephen King book on writing, and the advice that he gives to people who want to write, go write.
Mm.
Just start writing, you know? And with this, it's like, okay, well, you've learned a couple things now, right? You learned that you shouldn't be dependent on any platforms. Mm-hmm. You know, you should think about processes and systems. Not initially, you know. The most important thing now is the offer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So start putting offers out. You know, there's a friend of mine who wrote the book called The 7-Day Startup. Okay. And just a quick backstory, he was trying to build a business for a long, long time, putting a lot of content out for years, almost went bankrupt, was like days from getting a job, and he put out one offer to his mailing list that built up a business that was called WP Curve. I think they started making $25,000-$30,000 a month within a year and sold to a big, I think it was GoDaddy for him.
Wow.
Cool. And he pretty much looked back at all the things he messed up. And he's like, you know what? You can actually build a business quickly by just putting offers out there. His list was not very big, maybe about 2,000 people, but it was just, he just put an offer out. And from the day he put the offer out to having a business running took 7 days.
Wow. That's awesome.
Because it was just a market and, you know, and product fit, but you won't know until you put those offers out. Yeah. Like you just don't know. You have to put them out. Like every day that you're not putting something out, you're losing money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's my first piece of advice. Once the money comes in, well, you kind of got yourself a business, especially if it's repeatable.
Amen. Amen. Tom, this has been fascinating. And this day and time, the information you provided is basically priceless. I mean, if someone wanted to get in touch with you for your services, to ask a question or to get more information, or maybe even do an interview like this, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Just go to smartbrandmarketing.com and you can just contact me and find me there very easily. I'm not hard to find at all.
And there's a lot of great information on the website. There really is.
Well, thank you. I try to, especially lately, I try to inspire a bit more. Like I was always more of this, like, you know, I'm going to teach you marketing without the BS. But what I realized is that people do need some inspiration, you know, and I kind of started thinking of that, you know, when I was around maybe 28, 29, and I was going through a rough patch myself. You know, just being kind of lost, you know, because you're doing things and you just have these kind of crisis. And I was just grabbing onto straws, you know, and then those moments, like, you know, and a lot of the things I read were by people that didn't have my best interests at heart. If you, you know, kind of understand, like somebody like, you know, The Secret and all these books that are just garbage when you really, you know. So I do think it's important to get inspiration initially from someone that actually has been through it.
Yeah,
amen. I'll give you one last recommendation, you know, about someone that built up a business that went through so many struggles. They'll make you feel like you're doing just fine at whatever level you're at. And it's called Shoe Dog. It's by the maker of Nike.
Okay.
One of the best business books I ever read. And it takes you through the most incredible journey. And it's easy to read, too. It just reads like, you know, like a novel.
Wow.
Okay. But I find myself sometimes thinking like, oh, this is kind of hard. And I'm, you know, why am I pushing through, you know, when I read that book, I'm like, I'm good. I'm not going through anything compared to what this guy was. So, often, you know, during that roller coaster, I do recommend to kind of grab something like that and see like, you know, we've all been through it. You know, you just kind of need to kind of, you know, maybe hear about it, you know, at least once.
Yeah. Yeah, amen, amen. Well, I'll put the link down to your website down in the show notes below. Folks, you got the opportunity to sit today at the feet of someone who has succeeded where many have failed. Tom LeBitt has proven track record to back up his claims. And if there was ever someone that you needed to follow, this is it. Go down below in the show notes. Get in touch with Tom today. Right now, while you're thinking about it, go ahead and click it. Because, you know, if you say, well, I'll do it later, there's a 50-50 chance or better that you're going to forget. Just go ahead and do it right now. Tom, I do thank you for taking the time to join with us today. I know you have a busy schedule, and this meant a lot. I know our listeners got a lot of value from everything you shared, and I just appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
Folks, that is all the time we have for today. So for Tom LeBitt and myself, this is Bob Thibodeau reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.